Welcome to Build 2016. This is Ketan Gilani, Program Manager with Application Insights team. Today we'll go over the session Advanced Analytics with Application Insights. The objective of the session, why do I need Application Insights first of all? And then we'll go into detail and deep dive of advanced querying and analytics with Application Insights. And then we'll do a full course or demo on that one. If you look at the modern applications today, there are multiple tiers, there are multiple data centers, you know, people are using lots of client devices, lots of browsers, and there's constantly feature churn. Everything is in beta all the time. And on top of that, you have continuous delivery in the case that, you know, you're deploying hourly, sometimes, you know, daily, and sometimes even more frequently than daily, that is hourly. You need to be able to quickly find and fix issues that are there. And for this, you need something which can collect your telemetry in real time and provide you information to quickly detect and diagnose issues. That's where Application Insights comes in. It allows you to collect telemetry, server, backend, client, middleware, web services, browsers, other devices, and then it collects this telemetry and stores it in the cloud and processes the telemetry so it's available for you to generate powerful insights. We provide you with a portal which allows you to detect, triage, and diagnose issues with powerful out-of-the-box performance and usage telemetry. And newly added is the analytics capability. Simple, powerful, interactive, ad hoc querying of your data instantly and available on all of your telemetry. So today's session will actually focus on the analytics and ad hoc querying. So what is analytics and ad hoc querying? First of all, it allows you to diagnose issues across your entire app stack. So you may have multiple apps. You really want to make sure that you have perspectives, you have all the perspectives of your app there. You also have ad hoc queries and full text search that allows you to answer powerful questions instantly. All of this is behind the scene is the new and powerful big data query engine for all of your app telemetry, and that allows you to deep dive into root cause analysis. And I couldn't have said it better than one of our early adopters, DNN.NET Nuke. Application Insights provides us with the missing part of the equation, and that missing part is the interactive analytics. As it states, for being able to combine, sort, query, and filter data as needed. And you will see all this in action soon. A typical ad hoc iterative app diagnosis process goes through kind of answering questions at various stages, starting from a customer opening a ticket, then going into what is actually broken, how many users are impacted, you know, what my performance is, am I meeting my SLA? So you go through this iterative process of your diagnostic steps. And to do that, you need really a powerful query language. That's what analytics provides you. Simple, powerful, SQL-like language. And it's even easier for complex queries. You can filter and join and correlate your data to gain performance and usage insights. You can extract and extend your data to create new calculated fields. You can generate statistical aggregations and powerful visualizations instantly. And it doesn't matter what metrics it is, whether it's service performance, whether it's app business metrics, whether it's customer experience, we'll show you how you can actually use the interactive analytics capability. In the demo today, we will go through discovering your data, search and filtering your data, correlating your data across different sets, extracting and extending your data, and then, of course, analyzing your data. So let's dive into the demo now. Most of you guys may be familiar with already. This one is a Ibiza portal or the portal Azure portal. Insights Portal Prod is actually an app that we have for that's being tracking our application insights on top of Azure. So, you know, the blades people visit and how they interact with. So as you can see now here, we have something called new instant answers for your hard questions. Click on analytics. So you click on analytics and you get to your analytics from here. So this one is a portal that you have, allows you to interactively query your data, that telemetry that you have sent with Application Insights, and gives you instant answers. Just to give you a little bit about the UI, so in this case, you see the UI, in this case, you have the schema, which shows you on the left, which shows you all the tables for the telemetry types that you're sending. So in the sense, you have traces, you have custom events, you can expand all, you can collapse all, or you can search for the field that you want in the sense that maybe say a method or exception, so this, that exists in exceptions in here, outer method, innermost method, and stuff like that. So you can discover, you explore your schema that way. You have other couple other aspects I'll just show you. You have also in this case, you have where you can save your queries or you can do new queries. So you can actually, when, for example, here, I can just type in a query here to say, what's the response code? So very easy to jumpstart from your from the menu here. It just shows you the bar chart of the number of response codes that we have. So this, of course, these are most success. And then you have 2 or 4, 3 or 4, 4 or 5, and so on and so forth. You can also view the table like this in that aspect. But you can also save your queries. So you can save your queries here, name your queries and save it, and you can retrieve your queries at any time. You can actually also, you can do an export. We can export to Excel the results or export to Power BI, and I'll show you how the Power BI works. You can also go to the various tutorials that you have in terms of, and it goes into the details of the query language on how the query language works, shows you the basics and the advanced of the query language. So very, very powerful features are there, and I'll walk you through all of these features today from the portal here. Okay, so let me actually copy the set of queries that I want to do. I'll just copy that across here. And then we'll start querying the data. So first thing I want to do is discover your data. So generally what you want to do is basically you'll be able to discover your data. So in this case, union star means basically getting all the tables. Just tell me how many records are there. I'm going to minimize the schema as I'm not going to use that a lot. I'm going to minimize that. So you see it came back. I have about 119 million records in here. And then I'm going to query over that data. Again, this data is about Application Insights. It's the portal that we have in Azure. So it's about that one. And the number of requests I get. So again, very easy. I just hit Shift Enter for my query, and you'll see about 26 million records out there that I have. So again, discovering your data. The next time you want to look at, okay, what is actually in the table? You just type in the table name, and you hit Enter or Shift Enter, and then you'll see all the records that are there. As you can see, we load about 10,000 records by default on the top. As you can see, the top 10,000 records or 10,000 records are loaded. You can look at the data in this way. You can discover the data here, your schema that's here. You can see the other columns that you want. You can add other columns if you want. For example, say I want to add client browser or client city. And of course, you can also look at reorder the columns so you can see the other columns up front here. So in this case, you can see in the other columns here, duration and stuff like that. You can also look at the data in more raw format. So you can look at the data here in different format. That's there for the particular record goes into detail. And I'll show you how I use that in capability later. So in this case, now let's look at the same thing. I want to, you know, what I'm going to do with 10,000 records anyway. So let me look at 10 records. That's another way to say, oh, limit the records, the result set to the first 10 records I see, and they can explore the schema that way. Very easy to do that. Now I want to look at maybe specific columns. So many times is really on, I don't want to look at all the columns. So here's how would I actually just look at specific columns. So it's very easy to just select requests and specific columns. Now filtering your data. Now, in this case, now as you discover the stuff here, now filtering your data is most people first filter by timestamp, right? So here is I'm looking at timestamp. I'm looking at all the requests that were that were after 322. So it shows you all the requests that are after 322. But generally, when you're looking at your data, especially when you're doing interactive ad hoc querying, generally you do it relative time frame. So here, I will show you now a little bit by typing so you understand the IntelliSense here. So now let's look at where timestamp. As you can see, the IntelliSense is action. It shows you all the stuff that's available. That's available in here. So you'll go 1 day, and I can say project. I want to do name and say duration again. And I want to say limit 10. Take 10. So here you go. Shift enter. Very interactive experience, as you can see, that is there. So I can see the 10 records here. Now, let's get into a little more details here. For example, let's look at here, and I'll show you how I'm doing it so you can see also. So here, when I look at the query here, so as you saw these records here. Let's actually project city, so you see some interesting stuff, say browser, say country, you can see that, and say IP address, okay. So here you can see some interesting stuff, you can project, you can see that, so I can look at that. Now I want to look at, okay, let me look at everything that's, say for example, client country, I want to look at everything, say United States. Okay, I can say, look at everything with the United States. As you can see, it added the stuff United States here. So now, it'll actually only show me the stuff with the United States in here. So as you can see, it only shows with the United States. But you know what? I want to actually say, I don't want actually things in Redmond because, you know, that's everybody in Microsoft is always querying. So I'm going to say not Redmond. As you can see, I can click and actually shows up here, says not Redmond. And I can shift enter. You can see the query runs. As you can see, millions of records are actually coming, and you can see the answers are coming back within seconds. So it's very, very fast. So here, now you can see that I can filter the data. Just to show you the full power of the query here, so you can see that I have my data here. I'm doing the same sorts of stuff here, but I am now using starts with. I'm using regex to show me the data, and I can see, I can hit shift enter here and it'll show me the data here. So very, very fast. You can see it has powerful regular expressions. It has powerful filter expressions that you can use, like starts with or regex and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's filtering your data. I'll show you one more trick. And you'll see it's very powerful as you are looking at this as an editor, as you're looking at the querying. I'm going to just do comment this query out. As you can see, I can comment this query out. You can I can comment the whole, I can select the whole thing. Control KC comments the whole thing out. All the things that I have in Visual Studio Code Editor, it actually works here. So for example, Control F. As you can see, it highlighted everywhere was Control F. So it's very powerful from that perspective when you use replace to replace the stuff across there. So that's just a side addition that's there. But let's look at now here, searching your data. Now searching your data, in a way I look at searching as just a general, is a more generalized case for filtering. So in this case, I want to look at everything, all the requests, and then I want to look at star. So star actually says star has posts, means any field that has posts in it or something like that. So this gives you the data which is there, anything that has posts in it. So it just shows you all the record sets that are there in that aspect. So very easy searching your data from that perspective. And all the queries that I showed you here will work in terms of matches regex or starts with, or not equal to, or has, or whatever. That'll all work. So now, let's look at correlating the data. as you can see, we have data from different, we have telemetry of exceptions, we have telemetry of requests, page views, and stuff like that, right? So you want to be able to correlate that data. So I want to look at all the exceptions that are there for failed requests. So in this case, here's what I'm doing. I'm first getting all the requests that are failed, and we have a field called operation ID, which is throughout the telemetry, and it tells you if it's a particular transaction on the same operation, then it's the same operation ID. So here, as you can see, I can join, which is a very, very powerful feature, and I'll show you some more queries using join. In this case, you can see I can do all kinds of join. For example, I can do ante, full outer join, inner join, left ante, left outer, right outer. In this case, I'm going to select left outer join. As you can see in IntelliSense Action, I'm joining with exceptions, I'm joining on operation ID, and then I'm just projecting a couple columns that I think may be useful. In this case, I'm presenting the name of the method, a name of the request, the method that the exception is, and then it shows you the success or true or false, or and the duration of there. So it's very powerful from that perspective. You can now join different data sets. Okay, let's look at if there are actually any dependencies. I'm going to look at where, say, for example, where duration. If there are any dependencies that are slower, for example, let's look at any duration dependency. So say greater than 100 milliseconds, for example. If I find any dependencies that are also dependent on the request that I'm getting here. But unless no results found, there are no dependencies that are actually on the operation ID there. If there were, they would have shown up the dependencies that are there. Now let's look at the next stage. So you saw the discovering, you saw the filtering and the searching of your data, you saw the joining of your data sets that are there, you saw the different kinds of join that were available. Now let's look at the data from perspective of extracting and extending the data. And this is really powerful, and it's really needed for your diagnostic troubleshooting as well as for analytics. Okay, so now looking at this data here, I'm looking at requests. Okay, I'll just project the request name. Let's look at the 10 requests that are there. As you can see, the request name, I'm just doing that. Now I want to look at, extract this data, which says the first portion of the data, which says get, or there's a method, and the next portion of the data is by page name. So I'm going to extract the data using a regular expression. So you can see I have a regular expression which says, take everything, the first before a space, and put it in name, put it in method. I'm actually doing expression on the name field that's there. And then I'm also extracting the page. So it's very simple. There you go. Now I have two new fields created from the name method, which is get and method and page, as you can see. Now that's one way of extracting. You can extract individual fields. The second way is I want to be able to, not only extract, but actually I want to actually now do count by page, for example. So I can actually, extracting is great, but I want to be counting by page. So not only I extracted the field, but I also on the fly did an aggregation on the page. So basically this is a new field. I didn't have to create a new index or anything like that. I can simply do the aggregation on there as is for the newly calculated or newly extracted field in this case. As you can see, I can do a top 100 and it shows you insights in section index is the most visited page. Okay, another way to extract. We have another thing called split. So split, in this case, as you see, everything was separated by space, so I use space as a separator. I split that field into an array of values. So it just shows me an array of values, which is temp here, and then temp 0 and temp 1, I just renamed as method and page. And now I have, using a split, I am able to extract the fields out. Again, very, very powerful when you have text fields which are actually comma separated or colon separated, which you see a lot of times in the log messages in there. Okay? Now, another way of extracting fields, it's called parse. So you can take the whole string, put in a regular expression, and put in the fields in between. So in this case, I am parsing the name, right? And I have given the two fields method, which are separated by space. I could have multiple regular expressions and then have multiple fields here, and then you can still have, you'll have different fields created. So parse is also very powerful, in this case, shows you on how I can create this method in here. So you can see that I have now head and ping separated using parse. And one line, I have created two fields very easily, extracted the fields out. As I already saw that, you can always not only extract the field out, but you can actually also aggregate on the fly. In this case, I'm just doing, again, the same aggregation. I'm just showing with the parse, and then I'm aggregating on the fly in this case, right? So very, very powerful. As you know, JSON is very popular, and sometimes you see JSON in your messages. So let's look at traces. Traces is another messages of telemetry that type that we have that people send. And you can see that I have JSON payloads here. In this case, I see preload. This is a JSON object. This is not quite JSON. And there's probably another JSON here that's there. But how do I extract this JSON object? This is actually a text field. How do I make it a JSON field or extract JSON out of here? Very simply, call extract JSON or parse JSON. So in this case, what I'm doing is actually storing the JSON object, creating a new field called JSON object, which is actually an object that I'm creating out of the message field. I'm first looking at everything that has preload, and then I'm looking at that as a message field. And then I just use .preload dot created invoke dot JSON, basically dot created invoke. You can just use the normal notations for JSON in this to access that particular field. So as you can see, I created a JSON object, and you can see that I have see preload, I see created invoked, and I can look at from the JSON object. So very, very powerful extraction of JSON. And not only I can extract this JSON objects, but I can actually, again, do the same thing, aggregation by these objects, aggregation by these fields that I've extracted from JSON. That's also very powerful. And I'll show you actually how I'm doing that in some of the other other queries that I'm going to show you. So as you see, now we have done discovering your data. You have done filtering and searching your data using very, very powerful operators that we have, filter operators that we have. You are able to join your data, and you are able to extract and extend your data. Now let's extend your data in a different way. I want to create new calculated fields, okay? So here, I'm actually calculating the field to say, I'm looking at all the requests for last one day, and then I want to look at to see if the duration is greater than 3,000, then maybe my response is okay. If it's not, then, if it's greater than 3,000, that's too long, and if it's not, then it's okay. So I can, again, very simply create this new field on the fly, which is a simple condition to say, based on a duration here. Again, very powerful, right? I'm creating this field. So now I look at this. I can go a little further, okay? So I want to create this field to say SLA met. And now what I'm doing here is actually evaluating the expression as part of duration less than 3,000, SLA met or not met. So it basically shows you a Boolean expression here, a Boolean expression that comes in to say, where their SLA met, true, or SLA not met is false. So most of the time is true in this case, as you see here, right? Okay, so it's great you can create these new fields and stuff like that, but at the same time, you want to be able to analyze the analyze your data that you have created or data that you have, and that's where the powerful aggregations come in. So let's start with, we said with SLA met, right? First thing, okay, let me just find out, what my SLA how many times I didn't meet my SLA. 156 times I didn't meet my SLA. But you know, that really doesn't tell me much. The reason it doesn't tell me much is because it may be over a time period, maybe it's in one day, you know, it doesn't really matter. Maybe it was once in an hour or something like that. So I want to be able to do that actually, say, bin by an hour, for example. Am I meeting my SLA every hour or not, right? So very simply, now I'm doing a summarize. I'm actually doing directly the calculations here. Count of duration less than 6,000, where it says SLA met, SLA breached is count of greater than 3,000. And now I'm binning by timestamp 1 hour. So for each hour, it shows me the time chart, whether I'm meeting my SLA or not. In most cases, in this case, as you see, I'm meeting my SLA most of the time here because this number really overpowers the stuff. So let's go a little deeper. Now let's look at, I'm going to create another field to say, analyze the stuff to say, I want to look at percentage of my SLA met. Maybe that's a better measure that I want. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, let's look at my percentage here. So in this case, what I'm going to do, not only create these SLA met, but I'm going to create a percentage SLA index, okay? So here, now I'm going to do, let's see what my SLA looks like. So I'm going to look at a percentage SLA index to show where I'm meeting my SLA or not. So here you see the time chart in here, and you can see that some places I'm dipping on my SLA, which goes, you know, to 99.35. Otherwise, most of the time it stays around 99.9. So at least I have that. Say I have 3 nines of my SLA, but some places I'm, you know, dropping down to 2 nines. So now you can see where I'm actually dropping my SLA. So again, very powerful analytics capability, interactive analytics capability, as you see. So percentiles, we cannot talk about analytics or performance unless we don't talk about percentiles. So percentiles is really powerful because most of the time you want to know what is your 95th percentile or what is your median of your requests that are happening. So because average is many times skewed. So I'm doing the same thing here. I can do multiple percentiles at the same time in the sense that I'm showing you the median, which is the 50th percentile, and then I'm 95th percentile. And then I'm also showing you actually an interesting, I'm showing you request count, but I'm showing you it in hundreds because I want to scale it so that it appears along with your percentile, or along with the other percentiles. So it shows you hundreds of requests in this case, right? Again, very, very, as you can see, it's very rich interactive query that you can actually do it on the fly. So in this case, you can see most of the time, the median is actually pretty good. The median is not fluctuating. The median stays pretty stable. But you can see that the pattern of your 95th percentile that's there follows the load that's there in this case most of the time. Except there's an anomaly here where we see the actual load has gone down to say about 20,000 requests, but this one has gone up. It's not a whole lot because it's still in milliseconds, but it's gone up a little bit, but you see the anomaly here. But otherwise it follows the pattern pretty good in this case, right? So again, you can analyze your data from this perspective very easily. Now let's look at latest failure. So now looking at many times what you want to do is you have a failure, but you want to look at the latest failure. And not only latest failure, but you want to look at latest failure by the role instance. So, you know, by machine in this case, right? So when I look at all the failures that I had in the last 1 day, success, I want to look at the max timestamp, that is argmax is telling you the last timestamp, the maximum timestamp of all my failures. But I want to do it by role instance. I want to look at what the name was. I want to look at what the result code was, what the request what failed, and why did it fail. So now it shows me that I have, for each role instance, I saw the last failed request. Isn't that a powerful feature? Very powerful. Now it just shows me. So in this case, it says that, hey, they're on the instance one. In this case, all of them failed with 400, but sometimes you may have see 500 or so also. But it's, you know, all of the saved requests are failing. So it's pretty even in this case. Yesterday when I was demoing, it was actually different requests that I got. So it's, again, very powerful feature from an aggregation perspective they can see. Now let's look at one more, analyzing the failures or the performance aspects, and then we'll get into a little bit of the usage aspects. So in this case, you can see, let's look at trace messages. So I, you know, when I look at this, in the last hour, all the traces that I've sent, I've just counted by message. As you can see, I'm sending all these messages that are there. And you can see I'm grouping by messages. So you can see that I have a lot of common messages, but I have a lot of these messages. And then I have about 24,000 records in here, right? I can see that. But you know, all of these may be common. Some of these are very common patterns that I have. You know, I may want to look at to see, can I reduce this message easily? So we have a function called reduce by, which is a word proximity algorithm that goes and looks at the patterns within your data and then replaces the common aspects of the patterns within your data with star. So you immediately recognize the pattern. So you saw about 24,000 records. Now I'm going to use the reduce by clause for the message. There you go. It came down to 98 records now, right? But see, it identified all the patterns that are there. So preload, as you know, some of the messages, you'll see the patterns on how people are sending trace messages and stuff like that. So you can see easily the patterns that are there. Even if there are other log messages, which are more, a little more randomish aspect of the patterns and the stuff in there, but you will be able to figure out the patterns using the reduce by clause. Again, now, maybe 98 messages I can go through, but not 2,000, right? So in this case, very easily I can go through these messages. So now I'm going to introduce some function, which is called, and that which I'm going to use in querying. And you'll see range is just a function that we have introduced. We have introduced other functions like random, rand, or we have other functions called hash, which allows you for querying for the large type, large data sets. I'm just going to show you some here. So you can see range as the function here. So I can see range basically gives you, in this case, it gives you the 24 time buckets, right? 24 hourly buckets. Why do I need that? The reason I need that is sometimes I want to query my data. I will count my data across these 24 hour time buckets, but I still want to make sure that the buckets where I don't have data, I still show that time bucket, so that I'm actually able to account all 24 buckets in there. So what I'm going to do here is join this range function with the summarize on the count of exceptions, for example. So here, I'm going to look at using that to fill in the gaps if I have any. So I'm going to look at here. I'm going to look at all the exceptions that are there, summarize the count by exceptions in the last 24 hours, and I'm going to binning by 1 hour timestamp. I'm going to join this with the left outer join on the range function so that now I have these 24 time buckets. I'm doing a left outer join, and now I'm going to render the bar chart. So again, very powerful from a perspective of here I don't have any gaps, but if I had gaps, I would still see that time bucket without any exceptions. But again, it's very, very powerful and useful. And I'll show you another way I use the range function later. Okay, so now let's get into very, very interesting MVExpand, multi-value expand. As you said, this was advanced querying, right? So let's look at advanced querying. So we have a field called custom dimensions that we pass in with custom events. In your case, you'll have your own custom properties that you pass in with your custom events. In this case, so for example, we have blade load completed event, and then you have various custom properties that I pass in with my event. There are hundreds of properties that I pass in. Now, what does MVExpand do? MVExpand does is it expands the blade completed for the first row. It'll expand that all of these dimensions into his individual array. So in this case, I'm expanding as an array. So I'll just show you what it does, and then you'll see how I use it too. So now you'll see that that custom dimension field that was there with lot of name value pairs, it was now is expanded, and that created individual rows for each of these name value pairs. You see blade load completed. Now you have all these individual properties that are there with the blade load completed. How would I use this? I was actually also surprised when I started figuring out, I need this question answered. A question came up to me saying, how many properties these developers are using, right, for their apps? Especially for application insights, this was an important property, important one to decide to say, do we want to limit the number of properties that people can use in their custom property field? So this one, now I'm able to easily answer. How many properties, unique properties, that a developer is passing for his app? In this case, for this app, I do MV expand, I project the key value here, and I'm gonna do a decount on the key here. So now this tells me, okay, I do about 194 properties over the last 1 hour. You know, it's generally stable. Maybe I'll do, say, 2 hours or something like that. It's stable or not. So you know about the number of properties that users spend. Maybe it's a little more, 197 in there. So you can see over the time period, but when you do a longer time period, you will actually see a little more stable in terms of the number of properties that is defined. So I'm going to do a little longer. It'll take a little longer because if you look at the data volume is huge in the sense that it expands every column that's there for the property. But it came back pretty soon. There's about 205 properties that are there, which is a fairly represent of my app. Okay, so that's how we use MV expand. Now let's look at makeList and makeSet. These are, again, advanced aggregation functions that makes this analytics of your data so much powerful. So here, if I look at the page views, I want to look at, okay, let me look at, in this case, I want to look at how many distinct pages that people were visiting by session, okay? So I'm just looking at number of distinct pages that people were visiting. Okay, not that interesting. I can see, maybe it is interesting, but I can see that. Decount, and I just deorder by session ID. I can actually order by decount, so I will see that. Order by, say, decount, name, descending, which will show you. Order by decount, so number of distinct pages that people visit, right? So, okay, 22 distinct pages the session visited. Great, wow, that's cool. But more interesting question is, what are the pages people are visiting, right? What are the pages that people are visiting? So here, makeSet, it forms a set of pages visited in a particular session. So in this case, as you can see, in this session, people visited these pages, right? These blades. Blades you may be familiar with when you start using the Azure portal. So now, it's even more interesting to say, okay, what are the top sets of pages people visit? So not only makeSet says the pages visited, but I want to look at what are the pages that are visited. In this case, as you can see, the most set that is visited page is about ASP.NET overview page. That's the most visited, that's the most page that people visit in the sense that that's there, which is normal in this case, right? So now you can see the top 100 in this case, right? Very easily. The top set of pages people visit. Now, I take it a little further. What are the typical page flows? It's not only the page is visited, but in what order they're visiting what pages. So that's where the makeList comes in. Now, makeList will contain duplicates in the sense that people visited page view multiple times. For example, let's look at this. In this case, as you see, people visited API keyblade, search result blade, search blade, and then again search blade, right? So it's you'll have duplicates in there. As some places you'll see Metric Explorer blade, some places you'll see that There are other duplicates also there. Metric Explorer Blade, Edit Blade, Edit Blade, Edit Blade. People visit that multiple times. But isn't it interesting to say what are the most top common page flows in what order people are visiting? So that's another same way. I'm creating a list, then I'm doing counting that list very easily. The reason I'm counting, the reason I'm actually casting the summarize this thing, because at the summarize, you can only pass in, cannot pass in an object. When page visited comes back with a make list here, it's actually an object. So that's why it's there. I'm just casting as a string here. So now it tells me 806 people actually have only ASP.net overview page. But there are people here, 168 times actually, people click on refresh. They do that and do refresh one more time. And some people click on refresh three times here, as you can see in here. And some people go from ASP.NET overview again four times refresh, search plate to overview plate. So you can see the different flows that people are using. Very, very powerful with the make list, MV expand and stuff. Now, another very powerful question that people answer. And this we just figured out yesterday on how we do it, but at the same time, the power of the query language that's there is, you can see I'm using range and I'm going to use MV expand. I'm not going to go into detail on how this query actually works in the sense that it uses the capability that I've described, but it's for you, Riddle, to really figure it out and see the power for yourself of the query. So in this case, what I'm doing is actually looking at the hourly moving averages in the sense for my response time or duration. What I'm doing is taking all the data that I have for 48 hours, right? Then each hour for the last 24 hours, I'm actually averaging it as an hour. So basically it has an hourly average over the 24 hour period for the last 24 hours. And it shows you hourly moving average. That's really, really powerful, as you can see. Okay? So now I showed you some of the charts here, some of the visualizations here. Now people ask where the dashboards are. I'm doing all these queries, but can I actually connect to an interactive dashboard? Yes, you will be able to. Immediately now, you'll be able to connect to Power BI dashboards, and soon you'll be also able to create, basically connect to Azure portal dashboards. So let me show you how you connect to the Power BI, okay? So in this case, I'm gonna look at a query that I did here, which is, again, I am looking at ignoring all the duration which is greater than zero here. Only capturing the duration which are greater than zero. I'm gonna redo that again a little bit, ignoring the greater than zero. So Power BI stuff, I'll start again. Okay, so people ask about, you know, what about, can I, all these powerful queries are great, but I want more visualizations, I want more things, I want to pin it to my dashboards, where are dashboards? And yes, you will have dashboards. We will integrate with the dashboards in Power BI as well as in Azure Portal. The Azure Portal is coming soon. Power BI dashboards are available integration today, and I'll show you how. So here is a simple query that I'm doing, which shows you page views, and I'm ignoring all the duration which are, you know, less than or equal to zero, so I'm ignoring some of the, maybe the data which is not valid. But then I'm bucketizing the page load times into these three different buckets. I have 3,000, which is greater than 3 seconds bucket, and then I have 1 second to 3 second bucket, and then I have a less than 1 second bucket. And then I am actually looking at by city and by country and by region, okay? What I have here is export button here. I have export to Power BI. So all I do is create export to Power BI. What it does is it downloads a text file in this case for you to copy and paste into Power BI. It has some instructions here. You can read the instructions, but all you do is copy this Power BI, basically this is Power Query, which we have, M Query actually, which we translated the this query into the M Query. And then I go into the Power BI desktop and I do a blank query, just like here, blank query. And here I'm going to add the query right here. So the query is added. Now it's connected to Application Insights. Very, very interactive. As you can see, it's fast. It's connected to Application Insights. I can close and apply. And you'll see now I'll do the visualization, but if you see my query, it's ago one day. That means it's relative time period, right? So when I go to Power BI now, you will see that the query that's running, it'll be, you can refresh that query, you can publish to a dashboard that's shared. So let me show you. So here, let's look at all the page views across the world that I had. As you can see, I have page views that are across the world. Where in the world? Now let me look at actually the number of page views that are happened across the world. So you can see, of course, North America is the biggest. That's where we have most of the users right now. But you can see, you know, UK is another big one here, as you can see here. And the other folks are spread around here. Now let me see where the page load times are around the world. So you can see now the page load times I have around the world. So very, very powerful feature now instantly available for that connects with Application Insights. You can publish this dashboard, and then it's available to share with your organizations, and we have done this internally tremendously. So now, that concludes most of the demos that I had from Application Insights, but you know, being a geek, I also want to show you a little bit about a riddle using the same query language, which I really love. So how do I calculate pi using this query language that's there? I'm using a rand function that's there. And as you can see, I have x squared plus y squared. I'm putting that in one of the quarters, all the dots that I'm generating, the randomly x and y. And then I'm multiplying that by 4 because it's quarter of a circle. And if I run this query, I should get an approximation of pi, 3.14. Isn't that cool? I hope the demo actually showed you the interactive analytics and the powerful ad hoc querying that is now available with Application Insights. Here are the relevant resources at the Build 2016, which can go into more details about all the stuff that Application Insights provides. Again, thank you for watching. This is Ketan Gilani with the Application Insights team. Thanks.